you know, major budgetary shortfalls drove the basic furlough decision. So on March 1st, sequestration went into effect across the federal government, and the DOD budget was reduced by $37 billion, including $20 billion in the operation and maintenance account. So with that kind of shortfall and an effort to preserve warfighting readiness, furloughs was a tool that the department had to use. What I want to emphasize is the furlough planning was done in a very deliberate manner across the entire department. The most senior leaders across the department were involved, and our goal was to do this in a consistent manner across the department, because sequestration is a DOD problem, and furlough as an outcome of sequestration is also a DOD problem. So it was this unified, consistent approach that drove our thinking.
And just to emphasize some of that consistency, I hope you won't mind me saying that you were actually furloughed this week, along with a lot of the rest of the workforce. We had actually planned on doing this on Wednesday, but you were furloughed that day. So it's not just low level folks out there who are enduring this. It's all across the board.
It's across the entire department. Many of my peers who operate at the same level of responsibility as I do are furloughed. So, you know, consistency did not stop at a particular level of the workforce. It went from the entirety of the workforce.
And yet there were some exemptions applied, and I want to talk about those, or at least some of those, with you. I think the one that we get questioned about most commonly here at Federal News Radio is the fact that working capital fund employees paid by working capital funds are not exempt from furlough. And the surprise, I think, stems from people's perception that this is not really helping with the operation and maintenance shortfall problem, because these people are not paid directly out of O&M appropriations. So why was that decision made to furlough those working capital fund folks?
Okay, the decision to furlough working capital fund folks goes back to the idea of doing this in an equitable and consistent manner across the government. So the working capital fund folks are paid for out of appropriated funds, and the sequestration affected all the appropriated funds. Again, a lot of O&M, but not exclusively O&M. So the fact that appropriated funds are going down, the fact that the customers who supply the working capital fund people will have less money to spend, those people are now subject to furlough.
In the case of an agency that's primarily funded through working capital, though, wouldn't their workforce just naturally be drawn down by virtue of the fact that they're getting less business, for lack of a better term?
Well, a working capital fund expands and contracts by their business, but because they're in the appropriated fund and we assume that their work is going to go down, it wouldn't be impractical to almost do this on a case-by-case basis. So for consistency, we subjected them to furlough.
And those working capital fund folks are distinct, separate and apart from people who are paid through non-appropriated funds, right? Can you explain that distinction and who we're talking about when we say non-appropriated fund employees?
The non-appropriated fund employees, the reason they're accepted from furlough is to reduce that money doesn't help our sequestration problem at all, because it's non-appropriated and the sequestration hit is against the appropriated fund employees. It's about 130,000 employees. They're principally employed in morale, welfare, and recreation activities worldwide. They are self-sustaining, and further, they don't operate under the same OPM personnel rules as the rest of the federal workforce. So essentially, they are an entity unto themselves, and adjusting that doesn't help us address the sequestration problem.
I want to run a couple specific issues by you by way of emails that we've gotten from listeners. This comes from Keith, who's an employee at the Defense Contract Audit Agency. He says, I've heard that the DOD Inspector General is not being furloughed due to the fact that they were able to cut some of their budget costs. We were told that whether we found costs to cut or not, to forego the furloughs, it was going to be allowed because we were all in this condition together, so we would all feel the pain together. This was per Hagel and the DOD Comptroller Hale. So what's up at DODIG?
Okay, the DODIG was accepted from furlough because the DODIG operates under a separate statutorily mandated mission, the Inspector General Act of 1978. They have a unique mission, it's statutorily driven, and it's in a separate line item in the DoD budget. So it is essentially an organization inside of DoD, but it's its own entity. So therefore, based on a thorough examination of that set of facts, they were accepted.
Moving on to another email, this comes from Peter, who's a DoD employee working in Germany. Mm-hmm. He says, about 2 weeks ago, Stars and Stripes ran an article titled German Strike Pay Raise Deal for On-Base Workers. He says, at the beginning of this mess, most DoD civilian employees I knew agreed to make yet another sacrifice for our nation. Mm-hmm. Now we're just pissed off that we're being used as fools and political pawns. So I guess two questions wrapped up in there at once. Mm-hmm. One is the foreign national employees who, as I understand it, are all exempted. But in this case, they're not only exempt from furlough, it sounds like they're getting a raise. True?
True. So on both accounts, foreign nationals as a general proposition are accepted from furlough because they are all subject to status of forces agreements, which are unique to the country that they're employed in. So you can imagine to go through dozens of those individually and try and figure out the puts and takes, probably not very practical. So they were put off the table. In terms of the German issue, they are correct. As part of the general negotiations with them we do every year, it's called a tariff agreement, the German nationals did ask for a significant pay raise. At the end of the day, the pay raise will be approximately 1%, which is the same pay raise that the president has proposed for all U.S. civilian employees.
You can understand people's frustration, I think, when they see that they've had no pay raises as federal civilians for the past several years and are not likely to get one this year unless it's passed by Congress. DOD, in this case, though, seems to have done it unilaterally. Isn't that the case?
Unilaterally how?
Well, without needing to go to Congress for approval. Am I understanding that right?
In the German pay raise, we'd have to get the specifics of that because that's subject to the tariff agreement. I think what people can appreciate there is I think there's great respect in the Department of Defense that civil servants have had no pay raises, and they're sharing a heavy part of the load here. But the pay raise granted to the German people, German foreign nationals, is the same that the president has asked the Congress for the rest of the DoD civilians. So that's just where we are.
I hate to ask you to speculate too much, but I wonder if we have any idea where we're heading once 2013 is up and 2014 begins. These furloughs that we're under obviously end on September 30th when the fiscal year runs out. Is there any current thinking on what happens if sequestration remains in place for 14? Do we do furloughs again? Do we start looking to RIFs? Do we know yet?
I wouldn't speculate on that. We'll wait to see how this plays out, and then I'm sure we'll do the same kind of diligent planning in 14 as we did in 13.
Okay. All right. Before we go, I just wanted to ask you, are there any other big categories of exemptions that you see out there that you wanted to clear up and let folks know about or explain?
I think the general categories of exceptions were medical personnel to preserve critical medical operations, safety and security people to the extent needed to preserve 24/7 safety of life and safety of property at bases. We definitely took care of the wounded warriors and mental health professionals. I would also like to make the point, we did this with such due diligence. The services and components came in and asked us for specific additional exceptions. They were all granted. So we listened really carefully. The final point I'd like to make, you know, you mentioned the fact that I was furloughed on Wednesday. When I talk to my colleagues and I talk to the people that work for them, I can tell you and tell the listeners, and maybe they'll resonate with this. People are frustrated from this perspective. They come to work here. They want to support the warfighter, their families, the veteran, the wounded warrior, the retiree, and they put their heart and soul into it every day. And now the most frequent thing I hear is frustration from the employees that I'm on furlough, I understand why, but I can't get the mission done this way, and I'm worried about these people that I'm here to support every day. And it's part like I'm taking a 20% reduction in pay, which is painful, but it's also I'm dedicated to this mission, and I can't get to it on that furlough day. And I'm really pleasantly stunned by that, because that's a pretty huge statement for these people to be making.